Sinead, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Sinead, just looking at it last night, and I suppose the pandemonium that occurred on Twitter and Facebook and whatever, in fairness, you were one of the first politicians to raise the issue yesterday. And what surprised me, I have to say, was considering we knew that Monday was going to be the storm day, was the fact that they didn't seem to have given any consideration to the possibility that schools might have had to have closed. It wasn't an option that they'd considered until, like, after 10 o'clock last night. Or am I reading this wrong?
No, Frank, that would be my interpretation. And it's hard to believe, yet we were so well warned from the Met Office, and there was that contradictory advice where we had a red alert in the southern area and an amber in the north. So people were left with questions. But on top of that, you know, the public services information, I think, you know, in that the likely scenario where we see something, and it is an unraveling situation, you know better than me, Frank, how to read weather predictions. And I appreciate that, you know, as it comes closer to the time or as the storm approaches, better judgments could be made. However, there was nothing to stop communications going out from officials saying that we are at least on standby waiting to make that judgment, and having a centralised approach or a centralised place where people could go for clarity of information and say, we're on standby, let's visit this site, let's go to this Twitter feed to get an up-to-date situation so people know that they're informed, and they're informed from the authorities who have access to the best information. But that wasn't there, and people were left in limbo. And you're right, I was calling quite early in the evening saying, you know, we know there's a red alert in the south. So therefore, you know, what is the difference? You use the Lifford example. You know, parents in the north had to make a call last night. Principals were left, school principals were left to make decisions without any direction from anybody. And that's just not good enough in that type of scenario, particularly when we're living in such a digital era where information should and could flow a lot more easily.
Would it have been smoother if we had an executive, we had an education minister? Would it have been smoother, or am I just thinking that that's a possibility and it's more or less irrelevant because we still would have been stumbling along?
It probably is a possibility that it would have been smoother. But that said, Frank, I have yet to see the system that's in place whereby the likes of myself, yourself, media and public broadcasters, parents, those who are charged with public services, there doesn't appear to be a centralised approach in accessing timely, credible information. That's missing. Had we a minister in place, perhaps that would have been more smooth. But I think the debate perhaps at this moment in time should centre around us calling out for people to stay at home, be safe, don't put our emergency services in any undue danger, and then perhaps after this storm, the serious questions can be asked. It didn't work. This did not work on this occasion, and we need to learn from it.
The Met Office and Met Éireann worked together on a number of things, including the naming of the local storms. That's one of the things they absolutely worked together on. Needless to say, they're liaising with each other all the time. But is there a lesson in this that maybe they should all be working off the same template? We heard from John Wiley earlier that how they categorise a warning is slightly different in Northern Ireland than it would be in the Republic of Ireland. It made the system look a bit stupid yesterday.
Yes, and you know, Frank, lay people and business people having to make a judgment call, they say that the message is clear. The message was not clear, and it's still not clear. We still have that red alert and this border, and then you cross over and it's an amber alert. So there isn't clarity in that message, and there can't be clarity from a lay perspective. And you're right to take an example of Bilton sites. You know, the people that are in the position of having to make a judgment are reaching out to information from the Met Office and from officials. And I would argue it's actually not clear right now. So it makes it all the more difficult for them to make that risk assessment. And I just think, you know, for everybody's sake, we should just err on the side of caution and do everything we can to stay safe this afternoon.
You're a rural representative. What sort of feedback are you getting from parents this morning?
Parents and, well, it, I have to say, yesterday evening, it was frenzied. Messages were coming from everywhere and everything. Parents needed to know. Parents needed to know last night, and I made the point, an early morning announcement isn't practical as much as anything else because they have childcare and things to put in place. But equally so, I was getting as much representation from the staff of those schools who were concerned, bus drivers who were hesitant to actually drive a school bus with children on board, and the principals who ultimately were in the making of the decision, but also questions are coming across all sectors. We still don't have any clear direction from the Southern Trust or the South Eastern Trust, and people have been contacting me asking, are daycare facilities affected? Are the Trust's transport network still running? And quite honestly, Frank, I don't have the answers, and I have been asking the questions, but the information is not clearly there in the public domain for people to know how their day is going to unfold so they can take the necessary action to keep everybody safe.
Okay, Sinead Bradley from the SDLP, thank you very much indeed.